Right. I don't want to dissuade anyone from opening up Masechta Nagayim and going through it. But even after we go through today's daf, there's going to be only we don't even cover the first Mishnah in its entirety. Meaning there's more in the first Mishnah than what we're learning together today. Okay, to appreciate today, so here's what we need to know. A white spot on your skin is going to make a person a mitzora. And in terms of the actual discoloration of white, so the white is going to be one of four possible shades. The shades that we're going to be describing today are all different shades of white, and there are four shades that we're going to be discussing in the levels of white. The brightest is being described as Beharis, and the dimmest is going to be the Krum Beitza. There are certain things which in today's daf are axiomatic, and so they are just simply the ground rules which set the entire daf in motion. And so once you know the ground rules, once you accept it, so then you are good to go. In fact, let's just open up to the Gemara. Let's see the Gemara inside, where the Gemara is going to give us the ground rules. And the Gemara really today is limited in terms of the number of points it's going to make. It's really going to make, if I can, to simplify today's daf or to distill today's daf, it's really making one singular point. Obviously, there's a lot of information we need to know in order to know this one particular point that we're going to make. But it's really going to make one singular point, and the rest of it is just kind of all details flowing around that one singular point. First things first, let's do the Mishnah and the Gaim. Do I have to go over? I mean, I don't have to, but I'd like to go over why we're here, meaning why is today's daf, sixth daf of Shavuos, daf Vav of Shavuos, dedicated to the topic of Tzaras? It's because of the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Shtaim Shein Arba, two which are four. So the topics which are going to be receiving a lot of treatment is the topic of Shavuos and Yediyas HaTumah. Those are two topics which are going to be discussed extensively in our Masechta. But then the Mishnah said, you know what also is two, with two which is four? So Yetzias Shabbos and also Tumas Negayim, which is Shtaim Shein Dalet. So Shabbos already we discussed at the end of yesterday's daf, and that's we're done with that. And now we're discussing the halachas of Tumas Negayim as it relates to two which is four. So Tanan Hasam, so we start off by learning the first Mishnah in Negayim. First Mishnah in Negayim opens up, Maris Negayim Shtaim Shein Arba. So when it comes to Maris Negayim, so it's two which is four. The Rashi points out over here, I'm not the grammarian, but Rashi points out over here that this is Lashon Zachar. It's the masculine, right? The word Arba'ah, even though normally are the comment says Lashon Nekeva, but when it comes to numbers, so it's just flipped. One of the exceptions in the rules of Hebrew Diktuk. So the word Arba'ah is Lashon Zachar. Why? So Rashi says because the word Mar'eh is Lashon Zachar. Meaning, even though this is where Hebrew gets a little bit confusing. Generally speaking, the rules are pretty straightforward. But even though we would say marot, maros, but in terms of the word itself is mar'eh, and so therefore it's lashon zachar. So therefore, when you are using an adjective to describe it, so you're going to be saying it lashon zachar. Okay, my grammar for the day, I'm yotzei. Maros negayim shtaim shein arba. So there are two wishes for. Now here they are being recorded in terms of what the actual discolorations are. Baharis aza kesheleg. So the first is the baharis. Baharis actually is mentioned in the Torah, and that is white as snow. Shnia la. Now it's secondary. It's kesid ahechol. That's the plaster. It's the lime. The lime application that's put onto the Beis HaMikdash annually. The Beis HaMikdash gets replastered with a white lime. So so that is the secondary of the Baharis. Se'es. Now the Se'es also is mentioned in the Torah. That's the second color that's explicitly mentioned in the Torah. Kitzemer Lavan. So that is fleece. That's the wool of a sheep. And Shniyala Krum Beitza. And its secondary is Krum Beitza. Is the membrane of an egg. We're not talking about the egg shell, but rather we're talking about the inner membrane of the egg. When you open up the egg and you have that thin little membrane of the egg, we're talking about that kind of white. Now, here's what clearly is being stated in that Mishnah, and it's also what we learned in our Mishnah as well, is that when you talk about these whites, really, you put them in the construct of avos and tolados. They're categories and subcategories. And specifically, there are two avos. Avos are the ones that are explicitly mentioned in the Torah. That is Seis and Baharis. Baharis being the brightest, Seis being less bright than Baharis. And each one of them has a secondary. The Baharis has a secondary and the Seis has a secondary. The secondary of the Baharis is the lime, is the plaster, and the secondary of the Seis is the Krum Beitza. Okay. So that is the construct of the Mishnah over there in Negayim. That is certainly our Mishnah over here. And here's another thing which is axiomatic to today's daf. In terms of brightness, we are all going to work with the assumption that it goes in order of brightness from Baharis, Se'es, Sidaichel, Krumbeitza, the snow to the wool, to the lime, to the egg membrane. That is also axiomatic to today's daf. Now, basically, here's what we're saying. Oh, there's another ground rule as well. And that is that how much of a white spot do I need on my skin to see in order for a person to become a mitzara? So the size of a gris. The size of a gris is approximately the area, surface area of a penny. So if I have a white spot on my skin that has one of these four different types of white discolorations, a person's going to be tummy. If I have half of a white spot of one shade and half of a white spot of another shade, do they combine? And we're going to now say that according to the mission we just learned together, the first mission of Nagayim, and according to our mission here in Shavuos, so we're going to have to use the construct of Avos Tolados, which means that 1 and 3 are going to combine. 2 and 4 are going to combine. Meaning, because what is 1 and 3? 1 is the Baharis, and then its Tolada, its subcategory, is going to be shade number 3 of the whites. 2, which is the Se'es, its secondary, its Tolada, is going to combine with its Av. And what our Mishnah also seems to be saying pretty clearly is that the Tolada cannot match with another Av, even though, think about it now, 2 and 3 are right next to each other in terms of brightness versus dimness. Meaning, 2 is Se'es, and the one that is immediately dimmer than it is going to be the Tolada of the Baharis. And yet, our Mishnah is teaching us that 1 will combine with 3, will be Mitzaref with 3, and 2 will be Mitzaref with number 4. Okay. Don't ask me why, although at the end of today's daf, the Gemara is going to make an attempt to explain this to us. But in other words, but once you understand Avos Tolados, like we normally do in other areas of halachas, so a subcategory obviously is related to its main category. The Tolada is a derivative of the Av. So that's 1 and 3 combined, and 2 and 4 combined. But 2 and 3 don't combine. Okay, the 4 and 1 certainly will not combine. 1 and 2, there's where it gets a little bit fuzzy to me. But okay, but what we could say definitively is that 2 and 3, according to the Mishnah, is not going to combine. Fine, 2 and 4 would combine. So far, so good, everyone. Everyone's with me in terms of the ground rules. I know there's a lot of ground rules. There's a lot of terminology. There's a lot to absorb. I'm going to say over the daf too quickly for us, meaning because this for us is not our primary language. This is not something that we speak about under normal circumstances. So understood that perhaps I'm going to go through this daf a little too fast. I apologize for doing so, but you know what? One of the things about the daf is we got to get through it. I'm Rabbi Chanina, Mantana Maros Negaim Deloka Rabbi Akiva. So here really is the singular point of today's daf. It's the point which the Gemara is going to make. Our Mishnah doesn't subscribe to the principle of Rabbi Akiva, as Rabbi Akiva views the four shades of white for Tzaras. Di Rabbi Akiva, Kim Da Mizula Malamizu, Vizula Malamizu, Rabbi Akiva says, what is Mitzdarif? Anything above or below it are going to be Mitzdarif. According to Rabbi Akiva, it's really simple and it's intuitive. 4 will combine with 3. 3 will combine with either 4 or 2. 2 will combine with either 3 or 1. 1 can combine with 2. Whatever is just above it or just below it in terms of brightness or dimness are going to combine with one another. According to Rabbi Akiva, 4 doesn't combine with 2. At this point in time, that's what we're saying. According to Rabbi Akiva, 3 cannot combine with 1. And it goes without saying that 4 and 1 can't combine one with the other. Okay? Only one step can create a combination. So, assuming that that's Rabbi Akiva's position, we're going to tweak it in just a moment. So then our Mishnah clearly is not going like Rabbi Akiva. And this is the singular point that the Gemara is making today. Everything else to it is just not ancillary, but it revolves around this one point. So, im kein tiar tisir aichal, milatzarif. Now, if you were to take Rabbi Akiva Shita and try to plug it into the construct of Avos Tolados, so you're going to end up with there's no tsirif. Meaning, consider, says the Gemara. So, Sidah Heichel. Where's Sidah Heichel on the depth chart? So Sidah Heichel is number 3. Huh? No, so 2 is, I'm talking about in terms of brightness, dimness. So in terms of brightness, dimness, Sidah Heichel is number 3. Sidah Heichel is the subcategory of Baharis, but in terms of the depth chart, it's number 3. Right? From the brightest, it's 3 from the brightest. So, So Sida Echam Litzarf Bahadiman Litzarfe. So who are we going to combine it with? Litzarfe Bahad Bahares Dikasei Zadifa Mine. Well, what do you want to do? You want to combine it together with Baharis? You can, because Baharis is number one. And that's two jumps removed. That's too far for Rabbi Kiva. Litzarfe Bahadis Se'es Lav Tola Didehu. So the Gemara says, and what are you going to do? You're going to put it together with Se'es. Se'es, although being only one step removed, but it's a different Av. It is not the Av of Sid. It is the Av of Kroma Beitza. It's the Av to number four, not number three. So basically, I take number three and I can't put it together with number one and I can't put it together with number two. Where am I right now? The answer, of course, is you can't combine them. And again, the Gemara is here working with a ground rule of there needs to be some form of combination, and it doesn't work. Now the Gemara says, fine. The conclusion seems to be a fair conclusion, that the Mishnah Negayim is not going like Rabbi Akiva. But the Gemara says, but just over here, as just a subtle point, which actually is going to be, it's going to turn into it'll turn into a larger point. But when asking the question of the Mishnah not going like Rabbi Akiva, why did you use number three as the example of it can't combine? You know, if you're working with the same same assumption, number four can't combine. Because consider, says the Gemara, Ihachi krum beitza nami bahadiman letzerfe. The krum beitza, the egg membrane, which again is number four in the depth chart. Which one is that going to become combined with? Litzerfe bahadis ace. So let's say now that it should be able to combine with number two. But ikasid de adif minei. So the Gemara says, but you know, according to Rabbi Kiva, the only thing that can be mitzarif is that which it's next to. Litzerfe bahadis sid. Okay, so the Gemara says, so have number four combined with number three, la braminehu. Well, they're not the same. Because again, if you're working with the Alvos Tolados construct, so that means that four is a subcategory of two and three is a subcategory of one. So three and four are different Tolados of different Alvos, and therefore they can combine as well. So wouldn't Rabbi Chanina try to point out that our mission is not going like Rabbi Akiva? Why did he focus on number three? Why not focus on number four? So the Gemara says, hi, Mai. So the Gemara says, I'll tell you why he didn't focus on number four, because if that was the question, that is solvable. We now turn to the top of Avam and Aleph. Bisham Abelos did Heichal Krum Beitza Lokasha. If it were just for the Krum Beitza, for the egg membrane, shade number four, white number four, Avagav the Krum Beitza mitasai de seis rachmana amar vlaseis vlasapachas. Sapachas tfeila laseis. So the Gemara now is going to be providing a slight twist. We're going to tweak the opinion of Rabbi Akiva. We understood that according to Rabbi Akiva, the establishment of tzirf is just going to be a function of one brighter or one dimmer. So if we have three, which is one brighter than four and one dimmer than two, so it can combine, three can combine with two or three can combine with four. That's the way we started off our understanding of Rabbi Akiva. The Gemara now is tweaking it just a little bit. And I'm presenting the Gemara like Rashi. Where now the Gemara is saying as follows. Even if you say like Rabbi Akiva, that the combination of the whites are only when it's one above or one below, in terms of brightness or dimness, that's generally speaking true, with number four being the notable exception. Why is number four a notable exception? Because when the Torah presents to us the Se'es is number two, right? That's the wool. When the Torah presents to us number two, so the Torah then immediately follows up with the word sapachas. We know that the word sapachas means it's a subcategory. Now, sapachas tefillah le'seis. That means that under the seis you have subcategories. And now what we're saying within Rabbi Akiva, let's be clear, this is within the sheet of Rabbi Akiva. We're saying within Rabbi Akiva that the way he views it, as Se'es actually having multiple subcategories, meaning Se'ed has one subcategory, which is the Sid Ha'echal, that's number three, and it has a subcategory of Krum HaBeitza, that's number four. If that's true, so then what was our question? Well, four can't combine with two because it's too far away. According to now our new understanding of Rabbi Akiva, four can combine with two. It is, in fact, too far away, but at the same time, it's also a tolada. It's also a subcategory of two, and therefore can combine with two. Here's what we have Rabbi Akiva now. Rabbi Akiva has the general rule of zelam ala vizev, zelam ala mizev, that the combination can occur when they're one away from one another, in terms of brightness or dimness. And then, as another caveat to Rabbi Akiva, he also subscribes to this idea that Se'es has subcategories, and seemingly, the Gemara is not perfectly clear about this point, but I'll say it, because I think it's correct, and seemingly Baharis has no subcategory. Okay. But again, the point that the Gemara is making, and again, it's the singular point of the Gemara today, is that Rabbi Akiva is not following the viewpoint of our Mishnah. Our Mishnah has a clear delineation, a clear construct of 1, 3, 2, 4. And therefore, our Mishnah has only 1 combining with 3 and 2 combining with 4. Now, Afagav de Manchasa Meituva, I'm sorry, I should have read that whole line. So, Afagav de Manchasa Meituva. So, Ella said, Heichal Kasha. So the Gemara says, so that's why number 4 didn't present itself as a problem. But number 3 does present itself as a problem. Because number 3, according to our Mishnah, can only combine with number 1. And according to Rabbi Akiva, that will not simply work. It's too far away. So the Gemara says, so therefore, let's just say it. Our Mishnah is not following the opinion of Rabbi Akiva. We can add now to the Gemara the point that we made just a couple days ago. Rashi made the point a couple days ago. Meaning, it's discomforting for the Gemara to arrive at this conclusion. Sometimes the Gemara does arrive at this conclusion, like here as an example. But it's discomforting for the Gemara to do so because we know that Stam Mishnah Rabbi Meir, that when you have an anonymous Mishnah, it follows the viewpoint of Rabbi Meir. And we know that Rabbi Meir has got his Masorah from Rabbi Akiva. So generally speaking, what we'd like to say is that when you see a Stam Mishnah, so generally follows the viewpoint of Rabbi Akiva. However, as the Gemara now has done since the beginning of today's daf to this point in time, tried to have our Mishnah aligned with Rabbi Akiva, but the Gemara says, but it just simply doesn't work out, so our Mishnah is not going like Rabbi Akiva. Okay, now, what do we have so far? A Mishnah in Shavuos, a Mishnah, the first Mishnah in Negayim that says that the way to look at the 4 shades of white, even though we all agree to how it falls on the chart of brightness to dimness, but what we are in disagreement about is how to organize those 4 colors. Our Mishnah, the Mishnah in Negayim, the first Mishnah in Negayim, have the organization as a Avos Tolados construct, and 3 being a Tolada of 1, 4 being a Tolada of 2, 3 can combine with 1, 4 can combine with 2, but that's it. Nothing more than that. Rabbi Akiva, on the other hand, disagrees. Rabbi Akiva says, again, agreeing to the shades and agreeing to brightness and dimness, Rabbi Akiva has it that as long as it's 1 away, it can combine. With a notable exception being number 4, number 4 can combine with number 2, but that's because number 4 is a subcategory of number 2. But short of that, the combination is going to be based on whether or not it's 1 away from the other. Adkan, that is the Gemara's point up until now, and the Gemara's conclusion, and it will be the conclusion for the remainder of today's daf, is that Rabbi Akiva doesn't agree with the Mishnah in the game. Any why question over here is going to go fly right over my head. No, I'm saying these are just some of the axiomatic rules regarding Tumas Negayim. Again, if you work with the Av Tolad construct, so then that's how you arrive at this conclusion. Why is the 3 a Tolad of 1, even though it's bypassing a shade of white that is in between the two? Okay, meaning that's exactly the Chiddush of the Mishnah. V'heichon shamin l'Rabbi Akiva zulam ala mizu. Now, after having done all this, now the Gemara works backwards, and you know the Gemara does this. This is a standard procedure of the Gemara, in that after making assumptions about certain things, the Gemara goes back in, just simply not even challenges the assumptions, but just basically, and how do you know? Do you have a Mishnah that clearly states that Rabbi Akiva subscribes to this principle of zulam ala mizu? That combination will be a function of one above it or one below it. Where do we have that? Elam Mahad Tanya, the Gemara says, perhaps you learned it from the following Braisa. Am Rabbi Yossi Shal Yeshua Beno Shal Rabbi Akiva Rabbi Akiva. Yeshua, the son of Rabbi Akiva, asked the following question from Rabbi Akiva. Rashi over here points out, this is the Yeshua ben Karcha that we see throughout Shas. Yeshua ben Karcha, Yeshua, the son of the bald man. The bald man is Rabbi Akiva. Now, it is a little disconcerting that the Gemara just simply describes Rabbi Akiva as being the bald man. It is a strange nickname. I'm not the first person to ask this. Tosfos is bothered by this question. But for our purposes right now, again, I'm presenting the Gemara today as simple as I can. I'm going to work with Rashi. So here I'll go with Rashi as well. So anyway, but certainly though, from our Gemara, it's clear that Rabbi Akiva was the father, Rabbi Yeshua was the son, and a dialogue between son to father, a question from the son to the father. So the son says to the father, why? In other words, I know the first Mishnah Negayim, but parenthetically, by the way, Rabbi Akiva was the expert on Taharos. Right? You remember, Gemara makes this point a number of times. Rabbi Akiva tries to take his toe and put it into the pool of Agadita. I don't have a daf right now off the top of my head, but a number of times throughout Shas, the Chachamim say to Rabbi Akiva, go back to Taharos. meaning that don't enough with you and the Agarata. But in other words, Taharus is your expertise. That's what you should stay with. So Rabbi Kiva is known throughout Shas as somebody who's expert in Taharus. This is obviously Tumat Tahara. We're talking about Saras. Anyway, so Amr, so the son says to the father, why is the Mishnah presenting Maris Nagam Shaim Shein Arba? Meaning, what is that? Two witches for? So Amr Lovi Imlav Ma Yomrim. So Rabbi Kiva says back to his son, well, what did you want them to say? So Yomrim Mikrum Beitzo Lamala Tummy. So the son says to the father, well, why doesn't the Mishnah just simply say, look, Krum Beitza, that's number four. Anything from four and above, and you mean moving up in brightness, is going to be tummy. Why didn't the Mishnah say that? Amr lo, lo mashim start from zeim zeh. So he says, so the father says back to the son, well, what the Mishnah wanted to tell us is that this one's going to combine with this. Amr lo, v'yom romikrum beitza v'lamala, tummy, umit start from zeim zeh. So the son says to the father, zero if you want combination, so why doesn't the Mishnah then just simply say, go from Krum Beitza, which is number four in terms of dimmest, go, and then just simply say from that point going up, and I'm assuming, I hope I'm right, I'm assuming that these shades were also axiomatic, meaning that they didn't have like, you know, you go look for, you know, for paint colors in your house, and it's just, it's not something I enjoy doing. There are, you know, shades, sub-shades. But it is funny, though. You do see, in other words, as you look at those like little swatches of colors, you do see how, you know, a shade has a certain family of shades underneath it. So certainly this idea that we're learning today, you get to kind of see that. But anyway, but I think, however, that it was kind of axiomatic back then that Krum Beitza was number four in the depth chart, and there were three above it. Okay, so, and again, so the son says back to the father, Rabbi Shua says back to Rabbi Akiva, so just simply have the Mishnah say, go Krum Beitza, which is number four, move up in terms of brightness, there are three shades brighter than it, to where you get to Baharis, and then the Mishnah should just simply say, Umitstarfim Zaimza, and they combine one with another. So we know that Rabbi Yeshua said that to Rabbi Kiva. And Rabbi Kiva's response, Amarlo, Lamalacha, so Rabbi Kiva says, I'll tell you why the Mishnah used the construct of two versus four. Two which is four. Because Kol Kohen Shein Abaki Behen Vishmasem Eino Rois and Agayim. Because if you have a coin is unable to identify these four shades, the way that it's presented, with the two mentioned in the Torah, the Baharis and the Seis, the two subcategories, the Sid Halavan and the Krum Beitza. If a coin cannot tell you this most rudimentary information regarding what are the four white discolorations that will make a person Tameh, so such a coin has no business, has no right to look at the Tzaras and to positively identify that you're a Mitzorah. That's why the Mishnah used that kind of construct. That concludes now the dialogue between son and father. And the father, of course, over here being Rabbi Akiva. Now, you'll notice, V'ilu misid hechol amala lo kamar. So the Gemara says, now you'll notice that when the son said, when Rabbi Akiva asked the son, well, what should the Mishnah have said? And the son said back to the father, well, start at number four and work your way up. Now, what the son did not say to the father, so the Gemara is making a diuk in, well, not what was said, but what wasn't said. The son didn't say to the father, he didn't say, well, why don't we start from Sid Heichal? Sid Heichal being number three. So you see that according to Rabbi Akiva, the last two colors, meaning the Sid Halavan and the Krum Beitza, numbers 3 and 4, are going to, in fact, combine with Seis. And again, this goes back to what we learned a little bit earlier this morning, meaning that Rabbi Kiva really has two rules as it relates to Hitzdarfa's combination. One rule is Zelam Alamizeh v'Zelam Alamizeh, and also that Seis has multiple subcategories, meaning it has one immediately below it, and on top of that, it also has Krum Beitza as well. So the Gemara says, so why didn't Rabbi Akiva start from number three? Because number four, presumably, is incorporated in both number three and in number two as well. And so the Gemara now is looking at that dialogue and nitpicking on what the son asked the father, as if the son and father were in agreement with one another in terms of what can combine with what, and seemingly, the reason why we start at number four is because number four can, in fact, combine with number two. The Gemara to which says, "Vidilmas the Eis v'toldasa beres v'toldasa." The Gemara says, "Well, maybe not." Meaning, even though the Braisa gave us a seemingly the entirety of the dialogue between Rabbi Kiva and the son, maybe even as the Braisa presented the dialogue, maybe did so in a shorthand version, and maybe when the son said, "What should the Mishnah have said?" Maybe what the son said, in response is "Seis v'toldasa." Beheres v'toldasa, meaning the 1-3-2-4 construct like we saw in our Mishnah. And just so if all you have right now is that little dialogue between Rabbi Kiva and his son Rabbi Yoshua, that is not enough information for us to conclude that Rabbi Kiva subscribes to this principle of Zelam Alamizeh v'Zelam Alamizeh. It could simply be that the Braisa was written in some sort of shorthand. So Ella. So once again, where do we see clearly that Rabbi Kiva subscribes to this idea of Zelam Alamizeh? So the Gemara says, "Mid Rabbi Chanin dam Rabbi Chanin amashal Rabbi Kiva lama davar dama." I'll give you an analogy, a parable of Rabbi Kiva. What is it comparable to? La arba kosa shel chalav. So it's like 4 cups of milk. Echa naflu esocha 2 tipim shel dam, ve'echa naflu esocha 4 tipim shel dam, ve'echa naflu esocha 8, ve'echa naflu esocha 12 tipim. Each one of the cups of milk have in it blood spots. The first one has two drops of blood. Second has 4. Third cup has 8. Now, I know if you like patterns, so the next cup should have 16. That's according to the second version. According to the first version, the fourth cup has got 12 drops of blood. I know it's not a series. I'm sure somebody smarter than me could figure out how 2, 4, 8, 12 also can represent a series. You know, I'll give that problem to one of my... Right, I'll give that problem to one of my math people. And I'll see if they can make a series of it. But let me just finish reading. Shekula Maros Luvan Hain. They're all different shades of white. Now, what did we just learn together? This is actually another form of tzaras. This is what's called in the Torah Adam Dam. The Torah describing Adam Dam is referring to a white spot with red tinges in it. Now, not perfectly clear whether or not we're talking about red streaks, or we're talking about whether or not it has just simply a slight red tinge to it. In any event, in order to describe the 4 different shades of Adam Dam, so just like the white, we went from bright to dull, so too in the Adam Dam, we go to a really light red tinge to a darker red tinge. And your 4 cups of milk, in other words, these are just simply swatches of color in which we could use as a baseline. So you have 4 cups of milk, and each one having just a little bit more, just some more drops of blood mixed in them in order to create this tinge. 2, 4, 8, according to some 12, according to some 16. Those are your different patterns of milk. Now, Ella, Shezela Malamizeh, Vizela Malamizeh, and now here's the important line of that Braisa. Which is, and why is it important for us to be able to identify the various red tinged spots, so that we know that one can combine with its next. So here clearly, if you have a 2-drop red tinge spot, that can combine with a 4-drop. 4 can combine with 2, 4 can also can combine with 8. 8 can combine with 4, 8 can also combine with either 12 or 16. So here clearly you have this idea that one can combine with its next. To which the Gemara says, "Ema d'shamas le Rabbi Kiva bepatoch." So the Gemara says, "Good, I'm with you." So we have now established that according to Rabbi Akiva, on the red tinged spot, so then you have this idea of Zulam Alamizu, where each is going to combine to the one next to it. We're not talking about the red tinged spot. We're talking about the pure white spot that's found. So bechaluk mishamaslei. So how do I know that the same thing would be true regarding chaluk? So again, the Gemara is just going meticulously over where exactly do we see that Rabbi Kiva holds like that? Meaning we know he holds like that. We assume that from the very beginning of the entire sugya. Just where's the source for that? So the Gemara says, and maybe you'll tell me, well, look, if it's true by the red tinge spot, so it's also true by the pure white spot as well. But the Gemara says, but I have a Braisa, and I think from this Braisa, it's pretty clear that even in the red tinged spot, they don't combine one immediately to the next one. So the Gemara says, why don't we consider the following Braisa in the very bottom of Vav Amud Aleph? that the adamdam, that's the Torah terminology of the red tinge spot, so it is like yain mazog, diluted wine, mixed together with water. Eloshel baharis azak kishalag, the brightest of them is like snow. Vishel sid diha meimenu. And what is dimmer than it? So that's the shel sid. Now we, at this point in time, we now know the sid is number three. This brisa now has one combining with three. And this is even in the red tinge spot. So even if you wanted to make the argument that if Rabbi Akiva says that in the red tinge spot, in the adam dam, it's zulamalamizu, vizulamalamizu, and then we wanted to jump from there to the pure white spot, zulamalamizu, but the Gemara says, but I have a brisa, I just quoted on the bottom of the Amud, that says that even in the red tinge spot, this is quoting it in the name of Rabbi Akiva, you have one combining with three. So the Im Isa now, top of Vavam and base, if you are right, Shel Tzemer Di'ai Menumi Ba'ilei, it should say, what's below it? The wool. Meaning, because the wool, that's the seis, that's number two. One should be combining with two. Amri in Achinami. So the response was, no, you're right. Meaning, that's what the Braisa should say. In fact, Vahatanya, Gemara quotes a Braisa. Rabbi Nelson Amar Loshamar, Rabbi Kiva Shel Sid Di'ai Imenu, Ella Shel Tzemer Di'a Mihimenu. So the Gemara says, I have a Braisa. And the Braisa says that it's not number three being the one connected to one, it's two which is connected to one, meaning because, again, Rabbi Kiva subscribed to this idea of Zulamala Mizu. Okay, so all we have done now from the point where the Gemara said that our mission is not found like Rabbi Kiva, all we did was just try to explain the source. How do we know that according to Rabbi Kiva, the Tzirf only is one next to the other? Not like our Mishnah, one is combining with three and two is combining with four. Okay. After all said and done, we are now up to the last part of today's daf, and that is, again, just certain assumptions that we walked into this entire discussion with, and how do you know? How do you know Baharis is the brightest of the white spots? Again, the Torah identifies two spots by name, Baharis and Seis. How do I know that Baharis is the brightest? So the Gemara asks exactly this question. Umi Nalan. Four lines from the top of Vav Amud Beis. And how do I know the Baharis Azahi, that Baharis is the brightest? Amar Abai Amakrav, the Im Baharis Levana, he. The Torah describes Baharis as being Levana, it's white, and the word he. He's an exclusionary term. He Levana Ve'in Acheres Levana. It is the whitest. By the way, the rhyme that we're all familiar with, it's fleece is white as snow. So we just, over the course of today's daf, we deconstructed that entire poem. Okay, its fleece is not as white as snow. I'll tell you what's really strange. I spent a lot of time last night thinking about this. But anyway, it's the Mishnah does not operate with that assumption. Meaning, what is fleece? Fleece is seis, and snow is baharis. And according to our Mishnah, they are the two avos. So the fleece is not as white as snow. The fleece is less white than that of snow. Okay, but we can't. I can't change the rhyme. All right. Well, yeah. So Tana Rabbanan, the Gemara quotes another Braisa. Baharis Amuka, that Baharis is deep. Rashi points out this is really just a question of perception, meaning that when you look at a stark white against a dark color, right, like skin, for example, certainly not my skin, but in other words, but the really white spot, the whitest spot of Baharis, contrasted that against the skin, it's going to perceive itself, it's going to look as if it's deep. So Baharis amuka v'chinu omer amara amok min ha'or. In fact, the Torah describes this phenomena of the white spot looking deeper than the rest of the skin. Kemara chama ha'amuka min ha'tzel. In other words, when you look at the sun and its shade, and you see sun and shade side by side, so the contrasting colors give that white a deeper impression. Now, seis, the second color identified in the Torah. Ein seis ela gavoa. Now, it looks higher up. In fact, the word seis, by its very definition, right, nosea, means to lift up. So what does that mean, it lifts up? Because it's a darker shade of white, so therefore it appears as if it is higher than that of the bright white. That's why, in fact, it's called seis. V'cheinu omer, akol harim haramim v'akol hagavos, hanisuos. So you see in the context of this pasuk in Yeshayahu that the word nasa is really at its root means something which is elevated. Sapachas. Now, I made the mistake when I taught the Mishnah on the first day of the Masechta that Sapachas is a color. It's not a color. I was wrong. Sapachas just simply means something which is secondary, something which is ancillary. So Sapachas ain't Sapachas el Tfela. Sapachas is a reference to Tfela, meaning Iker v'tafel, the main and its secondary. V'cheinu omer v'amar Sapachni na. In fact, in Navi, you have this in the beginning of Sefer Shmuel. When the Navi tells Eli about how his sons now are going to be cursed, so they said, your sons are going to become Sapachni. They're going to basically become ancillary Kohanim. They're no longer going to be the main Kohanim. So you see that the word Sapachas means something which is ancillary. Ashkechan Tfela l'Se'ez, Tfela b'Eres Minala. Now, the way the Torah presents it is Se'ez v'Sapachas v'Labaheres. Now, the understanding right now of the Gemara is that Se'ez immediately follows with Sapachas, which means Se'ez has subcategories. How do I know that Baharis has a subcategory? How do I know that? So the Gemara here gives two approaches. Am Rebbe Zera Nemar Lavana B'Se'ez V'Nemar Lavana B'Baharis. It says white as it relates to Se'ez, it says white as it relates to Baharis. Ma Lavana Amor B'Se'ez Yesh L'Tfela, Af Lavana Amor B'Baharis Yesh L'Tfela. So just like the Se'ez has a Sapachas, that's understood. So too, since the Torah uses the same adjective Lavana to describe the Baharis, so therefore the assumption now is that that too is going to have a subcategory as well. B'masnisa Tana. Now in the bright side, a second approach, and that is Hitila Kasala Sapachas Bein Seis LaBaharis LaMalacha Kishen Shetfela Seis Kach Tfela Baharis. When you look at the Pasuk, in the beginning of Parshas Tazria teaches us that, not the very beginning, the very beginning is about childbirth, but in Parak Yud Gimel, so the Torah describes Seis Sapachas Baharis. Since Sapachas is between Se'ez and Baharis, so that means that Sapachas can be both modifying the Se'ez and it can be modifying the Sapachas as well. Sorry. It can be modifying the Se'ez and modifying the Baharis as well. It can be going in both directions. Teaching us that both of them have a sub-shade to them. Okay. Continuing, finishing up the daf. Se'ez ketzemer lavan. Now, Se'ez is like the fleece of a wool. My tzemer lavan, I'm a Rav Bibi, I'm a Rav Asi, tzemer naki, ben yomush, shemechavnin bo, limilas. We're talking about the sheep that immediately after birth, right? The mother licks it clean before it gets all dirty as well, walking through the dirt and mud. So in other words, right, newborn wool. I'm Rabbi Chanina Mashal de Rabban Lama Davadoma. And for the remainder of today's daf, all we're going to be doing is trying to give mashalim analogies so that we can understand. Because again, go back to the beginning of today's daf, it's strange. Meaning, Rabbi Akiva is looking at it, I would say, more logically, more intuitively. It's strange. Everyone agrees in terms of what is brighter and what is dimmer. And in order from brightness down to its dimmest, it is Baharis, not white, Se'ez, wool, a wool of the sheep, Sid, the lime, and krumbetza, and the egg membrane. And everyone is in agreement. That is axiomatic to today's daf. That is the shades going from brightest to dimmest. And then in terms of combination, here's where it gets strange. Rabbi Akiva says, well, the combination will be that one step above or one step below will combine. And again, the notable exception will be number 4, which even according to Rabbi Akiva can be coupled with number 2, but that's a special Gzeres HaKasav. But in other words, according to Rabbi Akiva, each one can combine with one shade higher or lower, brighter or dimmer. But according to the Chachamim, no. According to the Chachamim, one combines with 3 and 2 combines with 4. It's not intuitive. So what the Gemara now is going to try to do is give us mashalim, different parables, analogies, in terms of helping us understand. Perhaps these analogies don't work for everybody, and that's why the Gemara gives a number of different ways to present it. Most of the analogies, I should say, today, all based on politics. So if you are holding by politics circa 3rd century, Persia and Rome, you're going to love these analogies. For the rest of us, however, I'm going to say over these analogies as if I understand, but you know, I'm barely holding on to politics nowadays. So if you know your politics structure, you're going to love these analogies. Okay, I'm Rabbi Chanina Mashal de Rabban Lama Davadoma. So let's give an analogy for the Chachamim. Trei Malkei Trei Aparchei. Malkei Shozeh Lamal Me Malkei Shozeh V'Apicha Shozeh Lamal Me Apicha Shozeh. So you have 2 kings, and each one of them have 2 ministers. So in terms of ranking them, so one king will go above the other king. meaning you're not going to put a minister in front of a king. So in other words, the two kings, obviously, whichever king is more powerful, go in front of the other one. And then the minister of one, of the first king, will then go after the second king. And the minister of the second king will go after the minister of the first king. And that brings us to the av av tolado tolado. So the Gemara says, hi zelam alamizeh. Hi zelam alamizeh v'zelam alamizehu. So the Gemara says, well, if that's how we're going to be ranking them, so then wouldn't I use Rabbi Akiva's application of, well, which is going to combine with which? Meaning if I just line them up in terms of the gedula, so then I'll say what will combine with what? So I'll have two go with three, three go with four, et cetera, et cetera, like Rabbi Akiva. The Gemara says, no, you misunderstood the analogy. The Gemara says, look, when the king goes out, he's not going to be accompanied by the other king. He's going to be accompanied by his minister. When the second king goes out, he's going to be accompanied by his minister. Okay, an analogy to help us understand. Gemara gives a second analogy. Ravana Baravarma could go Malka v'Akafta. A king and the Akafta. Akafta is another type of leader, another king. Rufila v'Resh Galusa. Rufila v'Resh Galusa are, again, positions of ministry. Hai Zela Malamizeva Uhu. And again, the Gemara says, well, again, if I'm just lining them up in order their order of gedula, of greatness, so I'm going to line it up 1 through 4, and then, again, if I'm going to do any type of tziruf, wouldn't I do it like Rabbi Akiva, 1 to 2, 2 to 3, 3 to 4, 3 back to 2? So the Gemara says, Galusa. So again, the Gemara tweaks this analogy, the Malka and his Rufila. So in other words, the king goes out with his minister, the Al-Kafta goes out with his Resh Galusa. Rav Amar Kigon Shvor Malka v'Kesar. So Rav says, again, I'll give you another analogy. Shvor Malka, which is a king that was very popular in Persia amongst the times of the Amorayim, and put him side by side with Kesar. Caesar. Amle Rapapa Rav Ahami Nayu Adiv. Okay, so good. So those are two examples of two kings. Rav Papa says, which one's greater than which? So Amar Lay. So Rav says to Rav Papa, B'chor She Ka'achalei. Are you living in a forest? Where are you right now that you don't know which is greater, the Shvor Malka or the Caesar? Now, personally, I feel like Rav Papa, meaning, again, if you live back then and you were out and about, I guess it was obvious. To Rav Papa, it wasn't obvious. Poke chazit, tiva de man sagi ba'alma. So Rav says to Rav Papa, just go out and see who is more known throughout the world. Dichsiv. And he quotes the pasuk from Daniel. The Sefer Daniel, there is a nevuah about the four kingdoms. We know that the fourth kingdom is Rome. We also, by the way, last week's parsha, the end of the parsha goes through all the generations of Esav. The last ones mentioned is Magdiel. You look at Rashi over there. Who's Magdiel? Rome. So it's Rome. V'tocho kol, and this is now the Navi Daniel prophesizing Rome. V'tocho kol arav v'tidoshen v'tidekena. That he's going to eat the entire world, he's going to consume the entire world, and he will crush it, grind it up. Rav Yochanan zu Rome chayev shetiva yatsa b'chol alam kulo. It's a reference to Rome. The Gemara describes Rome as malchus chayevis, right? That libel kingdom. Rav says to Rav Papa, the answer is obvious. Rome, the Caesar is greater than Shvor Malka. Ravina Amar Kagon Glima de Amar Vishakhe Sadin de Kisa Vishakhe. And our last analogy for today. And that is here's another way to look at the four shades of white and why one goes together with three and two goes together with four. It's like having a fresh new wool garment versus some old tattered wool garment. And put that alongside a fresh new linen garment and an old linen garment. So in terms of brightness, if I were to line them up, so it would come out new wool, new linen, old wool, old linen. In terms of matching, so the better match is to match 1 and 3 because they're both wool, and the two linens because they're both linen. Again, another analogy to try to help us understand the sheet of the Chachamim and why one is mitzarif with three and two is mitzarif with four. Okay, all we did this morning was dip a toe, a singular toe, in the world of Nigayim. And as I mentioned at the beginning of today's daf today, that's not even the entirety of the first Mishnah. Right? Last night I went through the entirety of the first Mishnah, and we didn't even get the first full Mishnah of Nigayim. But at least we got a taste of it, a small taste of it. And that is the Shtayim Shein Arba mentioned in our Mishnah. And tomorrow, we return now to our Masechta, meaning the topic of our Masechta, Yedias HaTumah.